want to know, since in this parasha is pasuk says v'shavta ad Hashem lekecha, you're going to do tshuva, and then that's in lamed al in lamed kuta lamed pasuk dalet pasuk beis. Later on, it talks about the whole parsha. The verse was going to bring us back there to Sol, etc., etc., etc. Then Pesach Yudalev says, "Kei mitzvah zois l'niflesim l'mchav l'avrichoy kehi." So this mitzvah. So Rashi says it's referring to the mitzvah of Torah, the general. So the word mitzvah is being used, the total command of the commands of the Torah. The Rabban says it's referring back to tshuva. So this is the source of the mitzvah of tshuva. I'm going to go through some of the pratim of the mitzvah tshuva. Now, the Shari tshuva talks about what he calls the ikriya tshuva, the elements of tshuva. The Rambam also talks about it. The difference between the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yonah is in two directions. There are the primary elements, there are secondary elements. The Rambam has four primary elements. The Rabbeinu Yonah only has three. But the Rabbeinu Yonah then extends and says there are like less primary elements, a total of 20. So he comes up with a total of 20. Now, in the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, it's long-winded. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim goes through all 20 of them in a shorter version. So I'm taking the 20 of the Rabbeinu Yonah as found in the Aruch HaTzaddikim. So I really want to focus on that, but let's see the Rambam first, which is in the back of the packet, to be able to get a better picture of what we're contrasting it with. So, So, and Ram was to repair bays, halacha bays. So Ram says, "Umahi atshuva, perik bays halacha bays. Umahi atshuva. So, what is tshuva? Who? Sheyaz of achaytei chetoy, v'yasiru mimachshavtoy, v'yigber meliba shlo yaseu oid. So, he is oid of the chet. Yazer brosh adarka. He stops doing the chet." But not only does he stop doing it in a practical, actual level, but he takes it out of his thought process. It's not in the realm of a possibility. Like, I don't sit there and contemplate robbing banks. It's not in my thought process. It's not something that I have any connection to. It's not part of my realm of reality. I don't do those things. Right? So here a person was robbing banks. So the tshuva is to be oiz of the chet means to get it to a state of mind where it's not even in his lexicon. That's not part of his reality. His reality, that's out of the picture. And then you need a commitment for the future that I've stopped doing it and I won't do it again. So you see there's a darkoi. And he shall be machshavoy sov. Even the machshavah should be removed. And he has to regret that he did it. After I went wayward, I regretted that I did it. Now this is not a clear. This is a separate element of tshuva, or it's connected to the first two. But the Rambam adds in a fascinating phrase that tshuva, to consider tshuva, it has to be that the Yodeh Taluma is the one who knows the secrets, Hashem, who knows the hidden elements of the person's being, knows he won't come back to do this chet again. And Tzarech Lisvada is b'svos of, and a person has to say vidu. Now, the Rambam says a very interesting thing. Next few words are important. Rambam learns that vidui is to express bepeh, that which I just listed before. You express the charata, you express the kabbalah, you express the fact that you're not going to do it again. You have to express that. So that's all part of Vidui. So the Rambam has, let's say, four elements to tshuva. One is his eyes of the chetz, which he understands means in deed and in thought. He's given reliba shal yaseyoid, which is a kabbalah lahava. He's misnachem al sha'avar, which means he regrets that he did it, and he has to say vidui. He has to say vidui. These commitments are significant. They're significant enough that the Bereshim can testify that it's true in his heart. Okay, there's interesting Meshech Chochma. If you look back at the Rambam before, on the page before, which is the beginning of, so beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam, when he wrote his Mishnah Torah, he understood it as a Mishnah Torah. It is like a review of the Torah. It's an expansion of the Torah. So he wrote this, seeing this as a way to take the Tayyarg Mitzvahs and clarify what those are. So in the introduction to the Rambam of Mishnah Torah, he goes through all the Tayyarg Mitzvahs. He gives you a list of where he's going to talk about each one of the Tayyarg Mitzvahs in the Sefer. And then in each section of the Sefer, each one of the sets of halachas, in the beginning of the section, he tells you which mitzvahs are going to be discussed in this section. So in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Shel, he tells you that there are 24 mitzvahs, something like that, which are going to be clarified in these halachas, are irrelevant to Avodah Zarah. Right. Beginning of Hilchos Shuvah, he says, mitzvah asei achas. This all Hilchos Shuvah is addressing one mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Usha yoshu v'chayte mecheta lifnei Hashem v'yisvad. The person should do tshuva, and he should say vidui. Okay, that's how the Rambam says it in the introduction to the section. But in the actual halacha, the Rambam says a little bit differently. Kol mitzvah shebetar bein asei bein lo sasei im over adam alachas mihen bein bezodin bein mishkaga kashiyasa tshuva v'yoshu mecheta chayav lizvadat lifnei Hashem baruch hu shenemar, and it brings the pasuk v'rizei mitzvah asei. So he says that a person does an aveira and that he does tshuva, Yasa tshuva yosha mechetoi, he has to hear the say vidui, he quotes the pasuk, and vidui is a mitzvah say, which the Rambam does not say there's a mitzvah say to do tshuva. The Rambam says there is a, when you do tshuva, there is a mitzvah to say vidui. So the Meshech Chochma says that's very logical, because let's understand, let's leave vidui out for a second. So a person has been stealing. So they say, you know, stop stealing. So he asks me, why should I stop stealing? He says, because there's a mitzvah of tshuva to stop stealing. He says, I have a better reason, because there's an aver of stealing. I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva to tell me to stop, that you have to stop stealing. Right, a person eating chazer is like, you know, do tshuva. Why? Because there's a mitzvah of tshuva. The reason to stop eating chazer is because you have to stop eating chazer, because there's an aver of eating chazer. So I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva to tell me to stop doing the aver. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Why? Because there's a mitzvah of tshuva. I don't need tshuva for that. What I need is, now that I've done tshuva, because I stopped speaking Lashon Hara, I've corrected the aveira that I've been doing, which the mitzvah of Lashon Hara has mechayev me to do that. I have a mitzvah to say vidui. That's how the Meshech Chochma is mazbir pshat in the Rambam. It's a very nice mahalach of the Rambam. But so going back to Perek Beis Halacha Beis, so Rambam says, what is tshuva? Right? So the tshuva is that which is nischayev. The first step, you have to be oiz of the chet. I don't need the mitzvah tshuva for that, to be oiz of the chet. Yisir b'machshav toi, that's the chiyuv of tshuva. Person over here, you have been stealing. You've been speaking Lashon Hara. Right? Tshuva means that not only do you stop speaking Lashon Hara, but you create in your mind a reality that's impossible. That's not part of the same way people, you can't jump off a cliff. Most people can't. Right? Now, you mean you can't? Of course you could. No, I can't. I don't have within me the ability to do it. My body recoils and my mind recoils to the concept so much that I can't force myself to do it. Some people can't speak publicly. They can't do it. I mean, they can't do it. Get up and speak. They're in their mind. They're so removed from that reality that there's no way they can do it. You can do it through a long process of training yourself, and you know, and maybe you'll overcome. But so your goal is to get to that the person who's been eating chazer, his goal is to get to the point where he can't even contemplate the idea of eating chazer. That's the aziva. The aveir of chazer in the Torah is not mechayev that aziva. It's just mechayev don't eat chazer. He might say, you know what, I love the chazer, taste of chazer is good to me, but I stopped eating it. Why? Because Mershman said so. Okay, good. Now you're keeping the halacha of the keni chazer. Right? But that to have a shame of tshuva means that you have to come back. You have to come back from somewhere. Right? So I'm not coming back. I'm just keeping careful about the din of chazer. Yeah, I removed that out of my thought process. I've left that world. One other place where you see this idea. Look at the Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. Midarkei Tshuva, Liyos Hashav, Tzoyek Tamed Lifnei Hashem. Part of the ways of Tshuva is that a person should constantly be calling out to Hashem, Bivachi, V'sachanunim. Okay, he's calling out and with actual wail, with tears and supplications. V'sitztoka, Kvikoichai, person does stoka. He distances himself from that avera, which possibly means the idea of making gedorim. I protect myself. I know that I've fallen in this area. I don't want to get near it. I want to make sure that I don't get near it. So I create personal gedorim, personal fences, personal protections, not to get involved in that avera. I'll talk about that in a second. Umashana Shmoya, and he changes his name. The word says the part of doing tshuva is changing your name. So I put a new sign on my door, right? My name used to be Beryl, now my name is Yankel. Like, what does it mean? Climber. What do you mean you change your name? Ani Acher. Veni Oysa Isha also Oysan Hamasim. I'm not that person. That person was a person who did these things. I'm not that person. I don't do these things. So it's not enough to stop doing it. The Medarkei Tshuva, the way of Tshuva, the path of Tshuva is to create in your mind that's not you. I gave somebody a mushel on that. A person learned to ride a bike. So he falls off the bike and he really, really messes himself up. You know, scratches up his knees, face, you know, good, right? It was a really bad fall. The person gets back on the bike and he tries again. And it happens again. So, I'm not telling him that, I come to him and say, you know what, keep going, don't give up. Why? Because the falls weren't really so bad. He says, that's not true. The falls were horrible. It was tremendously painful. I'm not denying the reality of the fall. The fall was horrible. It was a terrible thing. But that doesn't. I don't have to find myself that I'm a faller. I'm a rider. How do you know whether you're a rider or a faller if you get back on the bike? If you don't get back on the bike, you're a faller. Because why should you on the bike if you know you're going to fall? Right? Then you will allow the veira to define who you are. Right? So the same way when you talk about falling off the bike, it's a person who does an veira. So we normally our attitude is like this. I don't want that. I don't want that to just define me. That I'm a terrible person. So must be the action wasn't so bad. No, the action was horrible. Then I'm a horrible person. Right? We don't like this. No, the action was horrible, and you're a fine person. That doesn't make any sense to us. I said, well, that fall off the bike was horrible, but that doesn't mean you're a faller. You're a person who's a rider who fell. you're a person who does mitzvahs, who is nichshol in an aveira. It was a horrible aveira. I mean, I don't deny the depth of the aveira to tell you that that's not you. The Rambam says, but the way you're going to accomplish that, if I let it define me, then there's no tshuva. I'm still stuck in the aveira. If I say that's not me, I'm not, you know, therefore whatever was done before is not binding at all upon me. The fact that I fell before doesn't mean I have to fall again. Well, if I'm a faller, yes. So then, yes, that means that's going to predict what's going to happen again, because I define myself and that's what I am. So the same way that's true on your bicycle, that's true on a virus. If I define myself, I am a person who does these things, well, of course you're going to do it again. So where's the truth? The person says, no, I'm not that person. The fact that I did it does not define who I am. And I don't deny all the means. You realize how bad it was. So that's mamish you. No, I can realize how bad it is. It doesn't have to define who I am. So I think it's important to kuda. So Rama says the process of tshuva is to create in your mind an attitude that that's not me. And I'm not going to let me define myself what I've done yesterday. So that's Mishana Shemoy. Now, I want to go back to Mizrachi Harbim and Adar Shechotaboy. So there's a gorgeous going. On the pasuk, I think it's on the pasuk. Haluch b'yashar yirei Hashem. So, when it's haluch b'yashar, it goes in his. I mean, the pashas, the way of yashras, is an objective reality. I write a sefer called Masilas Yeshorim. It's the path of the righteous, of the however you translate the Yeshorim, of the virtuous ones. Right, there's the Masilah of all of the Yeshorim. I'm going to tell you what that is and how to get there. The pasuk of Mishlei comes and says that there's Yashroi, his Yashor. I mean, there's a lot of different Yeshorim. There's a lot of different ways. Each one has his own Yashor. What does that mean? So he says like this. He says that each person has a different makeup, different nature, different nurture. And because of that, he's going to be inclined more towards certain areas of challenge than somebody else. So one person has an anger issue. It's a real anger issue. But that being said, he has an anger issue. He doesn't have taiva. He's not into taiva. The other person says, anger just doesn't talk to him. Taiva, he's got a big problem with taiva. Another person, anger not so much, taiva not so much, he's into kavod. Right? That's the only thing important to him. Right? So everybody has their challenges. Zot the pasuk in Mishlei, you have to recognize your personal challenges and create a path in life which will protect you from falling into those issues. So that means that you have to find a way, what's your yosher. If you're embarrassed at the going to undertake these things, because people won't understand why you need to do that, because they're thinking you're being over-froom, whereas you're doing it because you recognize that you happen to be drawn towards a certain area of aveira and you need to protect yourself above and beyond what the Torah requires you. That's the right thing to do. That's your yashrus. Even though people don't understand, they tell me you think you're being a meshugana. But why would I care what people think? I know I need this. So, I'll give you a mushroom. So, I don't like women touching me. So I don't like being treated by a dental hygienist, a female dental hygienist. So I go work under somebody that the dentist does the, which is a man, does the hygiene stuff also. So in Cleveland I was seeing a dentist, so I used to see dentist one whatever, and he basically passive practice, you know, he closed up whatever, so I switched over to somebody else, and he's a hygienist, we're ladies. He says, I'd really prefer if we could make the arrangement. He says, I understand, Rashi Revisek comes in, it was very Revisek Rosevand was a Kaddish Vator, Mamish a Kaddish Vator, and he allows you know, women. I said, you know what, Isaac is cut a Torah. He doesn't get this error by a woman touching him. I don't like it. I'm concerned about it. I might react sometimes if it's too affectionate, whatever it is. I don't want it. I need it. He doesn't need it. See, he thinks I'm a mashugan. I'm being more frum than Rishi Rabbi Zagozba. I'm not being more frum. I'm recognizing I have a problem which he doesn't have. So I need this protection. He doesn't need it. So Halach Yashra Yirei Hashem, the Gaon says, you need to follow your path of direction, even the people who think you're wrong, because they don't understand what your needs are. So when a person is misrachek harbim in a davar shechotabai, means you have an issue. This is an error which you've fallen before, and it's very easy if you've fallen once that you to fall again. You need to make gedorim for yourself. You need misrachek harbim in a davar shechotabai. Someone else doesn't need that. He might have other things he needs to be misrachek from, because that's his problem. He has a lashon hara problem. I don't have a lashon hara problem. I have a bittul tara problem. So I need to make gedorim to help him. He's a gedorim if I have a lashon hara. Each person is different. Right? But that part of the process of Darkei Teshuva, he says, is b'misracha karbim in a davar shechotav. Okay, so the Rambam adds now a few things beyond the original four. He says you're supposed to daven, do staka, make a dorim, and be mishana shmoy. So let's see the Ben Yonah. Okay, so he's going to write over here. We're going to go through not go through all the paragraphs, etc. But like the first lines of each of them. So the first one of the 20 ikrim, ikri tshuva, the 20 elements of tshuva is charat. Okay, charat means you regret it. So I did something wrong. I feel bad that I did it. He says, why? How can I do such a thing? Once the person finishes the vera, the tie before it is lessened. He looks back and says, what did I do? Why did I do that? That's ridiculous. Why, I regret that I did that. So that's the first one. It's called Chorot. Hashem is a Zibes Achet. You have to stop doing it. Which he translates means that you make a commitment not to do it again. Yigmar believe by that he won't do it again. Now, the Shlishi, the Revi, and the Chamishi are really connected. Shlishi is yogurt. So now yogurt really is charata. Yogurt, the person feels saddened by what he's done. That's where he regrets it. So he says, what's the difference between charata and yogurt? Right? So he says, imagine like this. A person, due to his carelessness, lost $20. So he feels bad that he wasn't so careful. Let's say he lost $10,000. He doesn't feel bad. He feels horrible. That's the difference between charata and yogurt. Right? Charata is anytime we do something wrong, I realize it's wrong, so the reaction is like, why did I do that? That's the regret. Yogurt is when you say like, what? You can't find a manucha. You can't live with yourself. What did I do? I messed up my life. Right, that's yogin. The Rambam does not have a yogin. He says charat. Revi is yogin but tsar b'maisa. You need to not just in your heart, but it talks about that they were sackcloth. That they expressed that. You have to find a way to express it. You can't sit there and say, your beautiful clothing, your beautiful car, your beautiful house is, I can't live with myself. My life is a mess. It's all over, and it's such a gishmak car, you know? Like, really? You know, so stop driving that car, you know? Move into a Toyota Yaris, you know, something like that. You know, you need a can opener to get in, you know. Right? You know, stop driving your Cadillac. You can't let life go on the way it is when you really have yoga. And life doesn't continue as is. Kechemishi is the aga. The next step is that a person is concerned about the results of his actions. There's a concern. When I realize what I've done is wrong, and the Bereshit is not happy with it, what's going to be the reaction? Ashishi is busha. Person should be embarrassed. Now, being embarrassed is a very wonderful thing. Busha comes when we realize that what we did was not appropriate for who we are. That's Busha. Right? So if I believe that this is what a normal way to dress, I'm not embarrassed to dress like that. But I believe you should dress not more nicely, and I don't have a clothing, or I was careless, or I copped it, you know, one time, you know, whatever, shagas, and I went out dressed like that, and somebody sees me, I'm embarrassed. Why am I embarrassed? Because it doesn't fit. If it fits, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. So Busha is the statement that I'm not that person. If I'm not that person, and I see what I did, I'm embarrassed. If I am that person, so nothing to be embarrassed about, that's me. Hashmi is achnob b'cholei b'shiflis. A person lowers himself, you know, and Hashmi is achnob b'maisa. So there's the achnob b'lei and the achnob b'maisa. I can't look at myself as this balgaiv anymore. I'm such a wonderful guy, really. Well, look what you did. It has to hit home that what you've done is wrong. That's what's going to motivate you not to do this again. I'm not going to live through this again. I felt embarrassed from it. I have the daiga about it. I have the yogan. I have the charata. I feel lowered by it. All of those things are going to be the process of making me be a shav, that I'm going to distance myself from that reality. Shri is a shri sativa. This piece we did in the Brain Yarna, we did that chair in Taiva 2 years ago, that which is along the lines of what he's saying, the Yogan B'maisa. I can't continue just running after the pleasures of the world after a person has done a heinous crime. A person murdered somebody. He's got a fit of rage, he didn't control himself, and he killed somebody. Right? Then he goes out and he buys himself this we'll make a kosher. He goes to the big what's it called, McDavid, whatever they call it, is it McDonald's, McDonald's, right? And he buys himself the double Mac, right? Like, no, I can't. I can't. Elam Azeh. I'm not uncomfortable anymore. So taiva leads you to these things, so I need to break taiva. Taiva is an expression of that you're comfortable where you are, and you want the so you need to break that. It's called shiras taiva. I think I said last time over arriving. The Ravid says a fascinating thing. There's a famous, they say they call it the Tainus of the Ravid. So, you know, fasting, don't fast. The Chabad Chaim writes this, nowadays we're living in a generation of weak people. If you fast, it's going to diminish your avodas Hashem. You're not going to die with the same fervor. You're not going to be able to learn. You're going to be in a short fuse vis-a-vis your family. Don't fast. Eat healthily. Eat enough, etc. It says, there's when you're almost finished and the food on the plate, stop. You don't need that extra piece. You had enough already. So you're satiated. And I tell you that Shira Isaac actually said in Europe they used to ask at the end of the year, they ask you, are you still hungry? In America, they ask you, are you full? Right? In Europe, the goal wasn't to fill. You don't need to fill your stomach. Like, you know, every ounce, every inch has to be full. You have to get the point. You're not hungry anymore. The body has this mechanism to inform me that we need nutrients, proteins, carbohydrates, etc. So eat something. At some point, the body says, "Good, right? Taken care of. There's still space in your stomach." Right? But once it's on the plate, we eat it. It says, stop before that last piece. It says, that'll be is much harder than fasting, and it'll accomplish much more for your neshama. The Ravid said. So somebody went to ask me, it's about Tashkas. I said, no, it isn't. You're using the remaining piece of meat to train your body.
Right. I'll keep it for the next meal.
Revolva says a little bit differently. He says that before you start eating, you know your body already, you know how you eat. You have a decent sense of how much you need to eat to get a healthy breakfast, let's say. So you need two slices of bread, etc., etc. Once you're eating already and you eat two slices, you might take a third one because you're eating already, you just let's have another one. He says, make that decision before you start eating how much you need and stick to it. That's all. You don't have to, like, you're not denying yourself anything. Just don't overindulge. So we have a clarity usually. Stick to that clarity. So that there are opportunities of shiras hataiva besides the guy, you know, rolling in the snow type of stuff. Hasiri lahashiv pa'ala is to change your actions in that area. If a person, he says, an example, a person had a problem, he's mistaka barayas, he was gazing at women. So now he has to train himself to not only not gaze at women, but in general to not be gazing around. In this way, you know, he's changed his whole approach to the lashon hara yasek b'tara. Take that the speech element, use it for something else. As I'm rehearsing with my hands, do mitzvahs to your hands. I rehearse with my mouth, do mitzvahs with my mouth, etc. Acharos is chibus to rochav. So the person is, once his person's done aveira, something, and he decided he needs to do tshuva, it's not enough to stop right now. Look backwards and say, well, what are the areas I need to address? What are the examples of this area itself have I done that I need to correct? The Shemoser is Yachar Yeh the Gadol Ha'Enosh L'Chol Echem Ha'Enosh. So you have to know what the punishments are. Part of tshuva is being aware of how bad what you've done is. Well, how do we know? I know because of the punishments. Shlish also Shia Averis Akalus Beinav Kachamuris. There's a different level of errors. There are errors which we know are extremely horrible, and there are errors which are not so. That's a person's business. But as far as you're concerned, your problem is that you didn't listen to your Creator. Your solution is listen to Him. So, you know, does the Russian put the same weight on murder and forgetting to bench? Stam or not? But mitzad me, I have a problem that I didn't listen to my Creator. I have no right to say, you know, I'll be more careful about murder, but I'm not going to bench. I'm going to forget the bench. You still don't listen to your Creator. The Creator said both of them. So if you look not at the action, but who commanded it, there's no such thing as a cop. So your problem is you need to train yourself to focus on who said it. Miso Salanter, there's a first mission in Bar Metzia. Shamash of Atalas, each one claims it's theirs. So each one swears that Yenel Pachas Machetzia, and you divide it between the two. So Miso Salanter, when he learned the mission, would say that Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Yachloiku. The version said Yachloiku. It's not Chazal, it's not the Gemara. It's a version of talking. He's talking through the words of Chazal. We believe that the Torah which we have is divine. This is what the Baruch Hashem wants us to do. So this is the Baruch Hashem talking. So you need to bang home that this is the Baruch Hashem. We're talking about the Baruch Hashem over here. So it's a mitzvah kala. Excuse me. If you're looking at the vastness of the one who's commanding about it, whatever, we don't know what the words mean, but you picture the universe, you know, the trillions of light years, the Baruch Hashem is, that's nothing to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, he comes to you and he gives you a nevuah, don't do it. He says, what? You know, whatever. Right? Don't use toothpicks. Like, because I said so. Toothpicks, but that can't be so important. You don't say that. You say, whoa, I got a divine prophecy from God not to use toothpicks. So the issue is not toothpicks, the issue is God. Our boss says vidui, he finally gets the vidui. Misha says tefillah. She says tikkun ha'mavus. You have to correct what you did wrong. If you stole, give the money back, etc. She both says leader of pulas a chesed emes. You have to find opportunities to do chesed and emes. Don't forget what you've done, because that's what's going to maintain you. One of the biggest challenges you have with people, you don't think it's that they get stuck in people get stuck in addition in you have a situation where people are addicted to some issue. They'll overcome it for a period of time and then they'll fall down again. So what happened? When a person hits rock bottom in an area, he's like, I can't live like this. It's horrible. So he corrects it. He forgets how bad it was. If he remembers with all of the intensity how bad it was, he's not going to let himself get back there again. The answer is either if he never came to that recognition to start with how bad it is, or he forgot how bad it is. So we say, I'm David Melech was constantly aware of the error that he did. He's never going to go back to that error. That's part of the process of tshuva, is that I can't go back to it. I remember how bad it was. I remember the pain that I had, the regret that I had. So that's constantly reminding me of stay away. This is even going to be different than the one we had before. Zivah Zachet means the actual opportunity came and a person didn't give in. So, and it's Esim Hoshi Rav Me'ovin Kashat HaSigyot is use find opportunities to help the tzibur stop doing averis. So that's the 20 that he has. Now, like you can see, that some of them are primary process of tshuva, but there's many other facets of the tshuva is a recreation of the person. So you need reminders. You need to make sure it doesn't that you're aware of how much that didn't fit you, how painful it was, and then you have to be at the same time declare how much that's not you. And I have no shaykh to that. I moved away from that. There is a mabit. This every basic lakim, the Revolver quotes in Ali Shur Chelik Aleph. Says tshuva is a fascinating mitzvah. So we hear there's all these different elements of tshuva, etc. Let's say I do one without the other. What does it count for? So I have mitzvah dalet minim. Sukkos is coming up, dalet minim. I only have three. So it's the halacha. It's garnished. It's worthless. You need all four to have the mitzvah. You need a person that says, I only have enough thread to make three sets of tzitzis. So put tzitzis in three corners. So that's very nice. Beautiful. That's not the mitzvah. Right? You need four corners. You need four of them to do the mitzvah. So I need a zibes achet and charata, kabbalah, lahaba, and viri to do the mitzvah. Let's say I didn't have charata. You know what? I don't really understand how bad it is, but I just made a decision I'm not doing it anymore. Zibes achet. As a matter of fact, I think I told you once from Reuven Feinstein, she should be well, that he said, he gave a mashal. The Rebbe Yonah actually says that a person who's misyatsav al derech le'tayv v'tamid, a person who's already ingrained in a certain negative path, the first step is not regret. The first step is, obviously it has some level of regret because why he wants to change, but the first step is correct it. Stop doing it. We'll talk about charata later on. So Reuven gave a mashal like this. Imagine a person was working in a tannery. He's a tanner. So you work in a tannery, he's a tanner. I mean, I've never been there, but the, I mean, I've been to Shlachta, as you know. The smell is over. It's overpowering, and it gets into your body. Like, you come home, like, you need to take three showers to get the smell out of you, you know. So that's when, you know, the guy, you know, comes home, he takes a shower, and every, you know, he smells. He walks to the shul next morning, and he gets VIP treatment. He gets three rows to himself. You know, there's a mice and tells once, tells is like, the campus is very, there's a lot of trees, it's wooded, you know, there's a lot of areas which are not developed at all on the campus. So there's skunks there. So one time, a bucker was riding his bike from the dorm to the Mechina building, and he ran over a skunk. And the skunk decided to let him have it. The guy got about three rows of the base manager for himself. You know? So the guy's a tanner, and he gets, you know, he's got... And he said, well, they said, you know, this is not a life. Like, I walk on the shore, everybody walks the other way, you know, everybody going, like, it's all gonna be, you know, I can't live like this, you know. My own kids don't like getting near me because I stink, you know. So I got to get a different job. So he quits his job in the tannery, gets a different job. He's like, I don't know, car mechanic, right? Eventually he moves on from me. Car mechanic, you know, years later he ends up working in a perfumery. Delicate, beautiful smells. He walks in, you know, he absorbs the smell. He's put down the street. People, wow, see, he's beautiful smell. Like, wow. One day he walks by a tannery. And he has such refined sense of smell. Like the stench of the tannery is overwhelming. But then he remembers he used to work there, and he faints. I can't believe I worked. He's so overwhelmed by the fact that he ever worked, he faints. He says, you can't understand, you can't have charata until you get out of the dirt. You don't understand how bad it is until you go into a different path. And from that vantage point, you look at it and say, what did I do? Right? The person has an anger issue, right? He doesn't understand the impact of what it is. He learns to control himself. He learns to step away. Right? After a while, he looks back and says, you know what? It's a totally different life. I can't imagine I ever lived like that. Now you can have real charata. Now you can feel the pain of what you did. But until you get out of it, you can't. Until you get out of it, you don't see what it is. I had a bachur in yeshiva that I felt he was too information media hungry. The guy read the newspaper, he read the news magazines, he listened to the news, and he was following it on the internet. And I said, you know, I said, listen, your job right now in yeshiva is to get rid of all that stuff and just focus on learning. Somebody like, if you want to get involved in politics, zentahe, not now. Just move on. I said, no, Rebbe, it doesn't share my learning, and it's good for me, and I need it. Okay. But one summer he went to work in a camp in Russia. So they have these camps in Russia. They have Russian boys, and he got involved in it. And he went there, and they have it at some remote location. There was no newspapers. There was no magazines. There was no radio reception. There was no cell phones. There was no internet. There was nothing. And for 6 weeks, he had totally cut himself off any of this stuff. He came back and says, "Rebbe, I get it. I saw how it changed my life. And now that I'm not busy with all the things distracting me, I can stay focused. I was able to focus on the chesed and the learning, etc. I get it. The only way you're going to get it is by getting out of it." That's Rosh Sherman's marshal in Perek Gimel. They had something which they called the Gan HaMavuchah. It was a maze. But the way the maze used to work, that there was a pavilion in the middle. The pavilion in the middle was raised. And from the vantage point of the pavilion, they could oversee the whole maze. So, you know, the Yosel is going through the maze, and, you know, Beryl already is in the pavilion. So he says, Yosel, left turn, right turn. So Yosel is back. He says, Beryl, excuse me, who are you fooling? They look exactly the same. They're all the same. It's left turn, right turn. I'm telling you, it's the right turn. He says, no, it's the left. I'm telling you, they look the same. Why are you telling me? You don't understand the left, right? It's good for me. He says, ridiculous. He's not in the maze anymore. He's looking down and telling you, this is a ridiculous way to go. You're stuck in the maze. They do all look exactly the same. You're right. They look exactly the same. So you don't see the difference. But somebody who's beyond the maze can look back and say, that's not... So you can't really have charata when you're in it, because you don't see... It looks... all the paths look fairly similar. So bona fide charata is the person who's been stuck on this path It's get out of it. Then he looks back and he says, you know, what did Rabbi Yitzchak do? So the process of the Ben Yonah, the way the Ben Yonah says, is that the first step for this person actually can't be Harata. It has to be Azim Esachet. It has to be the process of totally stepping away from it. And then at some point in your life, the Ben Yonah says, you can look back and say, you know what, I'm Iskaret. So the Mabit says like this. So I have, let's say a person has Harata without Azim Esachet. Azim Esachet without Harata, which was right now, was very, very, very appropriate. But in the Tshuva, Tshuva requires both. Mabit says no. Tshuva is not like the Dalet Minim. By the Dalet Minim, an Esrog without a Lulav is a waste of time. By Tshuva, each one of the Pratim of Tshuva has an effect and has a reward, even though you don't do all of them. It's a very important idea from the Mabit. So, you know what? I look back with Harata, with what I've done. I feel embarrassed. I feel upset. I wish I hadn't done that. I haven't figured out how to correct it yet. You've started the process of tshuva. You already have. In that way, you've distanced yourself from the aver. I don't really Harata. I don't really feel the difference. I stopped doing it. You've distanced yourself from the aver. Right. So, I say vidui. Now, one of the things we say in Vidyam Kippur is Vidyapah. Vidyapah means that a person says the words and it means nothing to him. The Vidyay is here and not here. It's not in the heart, it's in the mouth. Which means there's no feelings towards the statement. But what about a situation where the person comes and says, you know what, I really feel bad that I did this. Roshim, please remarkable me for what I've done. I feel bad that I did it. Okay, not changing. So the fact that you declared that the vidui is something significant, I'll prove it to you in the Rambam. Let's go back to the Rambam for a second. Rambam, Perek Beis. Halacha Gimel. Kol mitzvah b'dvorim v'lagam b'li b'lazev. He hasn't really committed to change, but he says vidui. Hareza doimer l'tevel v'sheretz b'yadu. Person goes into the mikveh holding a sheretz. Shein atvila me'elus loy achiyashlich hasheretz. Tvila doesn't make you tor until you throw away the sheretz. Now, the mashal at first glance is wrong. Right over there, a mikveh is a very powerful vehicle of tahara. The problem is, and you're in the mikveh. You're in this vehicle of tahara. But you have something being metami, you have the sheretz being metami. Over here, the person had made no commitment to change. And he says, Vidui, it's like a mikvah with a sheretz. No, it's not. It's like nothing. The Vidui without a commitment is garnished. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says a Vidui is a mikvah. Even if you didn't change, a Vidui is a mikvah. But there's another problem. That the mikvah doesn't work when you read the metame yourself. So the vidui doesn't work if you're doing the aver again. But it didn't mean it can't accomplish what a vidui is. But vidui intrinsically has a power to it. It's a mikvah. The Shein Ramba. Even a vidui which without the zibah zechet. So I think, now I think what he means, like, that he doesn't mean vidui pet. The vidui the pav not believe. I really couldn't care less, but tell your sister that you're sorry. I'm sorry. That's not vidui. That's vidui pav. Rosham, you know. Oh shabti, oh dalti. Really, like I couldn't care less. Matter of fact, Baron Cutler wrote. Imagine you walk into the court. The king is holding court. You walk in, and you say, you know, it says, dear, my dear king, you should know that I despise you, and I spat on your statues yesterday. So, such a nice guy, he admitted that he did something wrong. No, we chop up his head. That itself is an insult. To walk in the court in front of the king and tell what you've done wrong is an insult. So, vidui b'atzmo is an insult, he says. But the Rosham allows it because we need it for our tshuva process. He says, but a vidui peh, There's no excuse. That act is an act. Is an act of insulting the majesty in his court. He says you don't want to be in that situation. You're right, Cutler. Right. So we're not talking about Vita here. We're talking about a person, you know, that he says the Vita. There's some element, as he's saying the Vita, of, you know, I did something wrong. That's what I'm saying. I don't have the strength yet to change. But I'm saying I did something wrong. So that itself, you have a mikvah there. You have a problem. There's something breathing metame you. But the fact that you were able to get to the point to express verbally that this is wrong, and I did something wrong, and that's what you mean, even though you haven't committed to any type of change to the Rambam, that is a mikvah. So something a bit. So vini, even without anything else, is accomplishing something. Right? Just like, what does it mean that you're in a mikvah and the shayach being matami you, that the mikvah is not effective? I don't know. But so that's the Chiddush of the Mabit. The second Chiddush of the Mabit, and then we'll hold it. The Mabit says that, what about this problem which we have of cycles? Maybe you don't have cycles, but some of us plebeians, persons come to Yom the Royim, person makes a major commitment, and he keeps it for a little while, and eventually he backslides. Comes next to Yom Kippur, right? Makes Kabbalah, right? You know, eventually it sticks for a while, you know. Till Sukkot, till the end of Sukkot, till Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, till Rosh Chodesh Tevis, you know, how long does it last, right? So it means it wasn't Tshuva. The Rambam says Tshuva means that the Yedei Taluma is made, you're never going to do it again. And you did it again. So you did the Tshuva. So he says no. Let's say a person sincerely regretted what he did. And he sincerely makes a commitment not to do it again. So let's imagine that a person could be on what we'll call a spiritual levels. There's 1 to 100. Right, so when he did the Vera and he let himself do it, etc., that obviously lowers his level. He now reaches a level of spirituality of 87. Right, not going to do it again. That's very nice, but people aren't static. So a week from now, at 87, he's on the 77. So he ends up doing the Vera again. That doesn't mean that last week he didn't do Tshuva. Last week, when he was at 87, he talking up wasn't going to do it again. But based on the multiple challenges that were brought to him, he ends up slipping down from that state of being to a different state of being. And that state, the second state of being, the Vera is doable. In the first state of being, it wasn't. So he did a tshuva, was a tshuva which is forever, which doesn't last forever. That's what he's saying. Because on that madriga where he was, had he maintained that, he would never do this avera again. So that he, at that state, that moment, he had divorced himself totally from the avera. Listen, the Yetzer comes along and says, you know, it plays with the person and gets him into a whole new state of being, where there the avera is still possible. So that's the point that the Mabit says. The fact that a person backslides is not any type of indication they didn't do tshuva. It's an indication that he didn't maintain the tshuva. But not an indication they didn't do tshuva.
It's relevant to the ger. He did it seriously, but then later the Mechal Shabbos. Question.
Right, the loch is he's still a ger.
Same idea. As long as they had the...
Right. One thing, though, I think that one of my older chaverim tells once had the horror that Haman, the whole story of Haman, took with Mordechai and Esther with the tainus and the party, etc., took place on Nissan. Right. The actual day that Christ was going to stand up against Amalekim and fight wasn't until 11 months later. Almost 11 months later. Klai Yisrael was successful because they had done tshuva. That tshuva lasted from Pesach all the way to next year order. It means it was real, right? So that's why they overcame their enemies, because there was a real change in their lives. So maybe just one last thought after the one last thought. right, so you know, the Bali Musa talk about the idea of making a small change in some area, changing. So the Shiri Das deals with so what'd you accomplish? So how does it work? See, so imagine the following. Imagine you have a very large field, let's say a soccer field. It's a picture of this soccer field, and it's covered, it's barren, there's no grass there, and somebody comes and he lays out sesame seeds on the field to dry. One layer high, covering the whole field. How many sesame seeds are there? Millions, all right? Now, after that dries, they come and they put a second layer on top. Is there an obvious, noticeable change in height? No. Reality is, yeah, you put down millions of sesame seeds. Mm-hmm. So as a human being, we see this little, very small, puny man. The reality is that we know of Kabbalah that man is connected to the whole, all of the different levels of the universe. So imagine this gentleman over here, who has been impacting negatively the whole world, changes one area, and one area he goes up a level. So what happened? The whole world changed, not him, not just him. This change is a global change. It's an intergalactical change. He changed the whole universe, because man is connected. The deeds of man impact the whole universe. So the ball is just a small change. Just a small change. You added millions of sesame seeds because you spread out over the whole Bria. Yet small change means you changed the whole world. It says, but the mushal is not good. Because in the mushal, when you have two layers of sesame seeds, the bottom layer didn't become different because you have upper layer on top of it. Whereas man, when you add a little change, that little change means that you're not the same person that you were before. It changes everything. Not just, well, now that you're careful with this, you've redefined who you are in a small sense. So you're not the same person that you were yesterday. So even a small change is a redefinition of who you are. So the real goal is to make a honest change, which will be a lasting change. That's the most honest change that there is. And from that vantage point, it makes more sense to change in smaller areas, because it's very, those have a good chance of being honest, as opposed to, I'm never going to feel such an argument in my life. I mean, like, I'll tell you a maisa. Okay, there's a famous maisa with the Chofetz Chaim, which I want to tell you the maisa, and I want to tell you my commentary on the maisa. So it was Purim, and the Bachurim were shikur, and one of the Bachurim kept, in its drunken state, kept pressuring the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim should promise him that he's going to have a portion of the mahab. He's going to have a good portion of the mahab. He was drunk, you know, that was what was on his mind. The Chofetz Chaim kept, you know, ignoring it. Finally, the Bachur kept pushing. The Chofetz Chaim said, listen, I don't know where I'm going to stand in the Gan Eden. Chofetz Chaim's talking. He says, but I believe that for what I've done, to be careful about not saying Lashon Hara, that I'm going to have a portion in Gan Eden. If you make a commitment now, the rest of your life you'll never speak Lashon Hara again, I promise you, you'll sit next to me. So the story goes that everybody in the room sobered up totally. I mean, this is like, you know, you're talking about, I mean, the multi-trillion-dollar deal. All of a sudden, was just put on the table. But the deal was a commitment that for the rest of his life he's never going to speak Lashon Hara. So the Bachar was thinking. And then he said, he shook his head, I can't make that commitment. So the next step of the story goes, and I'm going to tell you my commentary afterwards, that the Chofetz Chaim told the people there that the Bachar should be removed from the room. Because he's a Rasha. Because here this person was standing at the gates of Gan Eden, and he said no. He's a Rasha. That's the story. So every once I was hearing somebody saying it over, like, maybe the guy's a Rasha. I said, excuse me for a second, what would you have done? Honestly. So before you label the guy a Rasha, like, the Chofetz Chaim has a right to label a Rasha, that's his business, but you don't have a right to do that because you'd be the same as him. Right? That person sat there and made an honest assessment of where he was holding in his life. He wasn't ready to make that commitment. That's he was honest. Elamai what? We wish that his honesty would have led him to a decision other than that. And he was able to see within himself the potential for more, which he didn't see. He maybe wasn't developed yet. Maybe the commitment with that strength of that commitment, being aware of the value, he would have developed the skills and the ability to do it. Because the commitment was so rock solid. But he was honest. That wasn't where he was holding right now. You have to respect the guy. He might be burning a headache because he's a Russian, but you have to respect him still. You know, the goal over here is not to pretend that we're something more than we're not. I mean, the goal over here is to be honest. The honest assessment in the mirror can be very painful. But that's the only way you're going to do tshuva. And from that vantage point, you're going to make incremental changes. I'm not going to go from Lashon Hara, I don't know, 3,000 words of Lashon Hara a day down to zero in 24 seconds or flat. You know, like, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Okay, enough.